When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A positive affirmation of peace. It was evening on that day. That day being the day that Jesus was raised. The first day of the week. Our gospel reading comes to us on that Easter Sunday evening. It was on that day when the disciples were together and the doors where they were meeting were locked. They were locked for fear of the Jews. These disciples, as they gathered together, were separated out from the city of Jerusalem by locked doors. By their fear, they locked the doors and stayed away. These disciples were segregated apart by the threat of violence of the Jewish authorities. Violence that they had seen enacted on their leader, Jesus. Violence that they had seen kill Jesus. And even though some were now saying that the tomb where Jesus was laid was empty, that some people had seen him, they did not believe them. They were yet afraid. And so the doors were locked. And they were segregated and separated apart. In this space, in this gathering, there might have been a moment of relief. A sigh of relief as the lock clicks into place. But it's sort of a negative relief. Here in this hollowed out room where the violence outside could not reach them, they were still afraid. And so that relief was very much coming with an asterisk. These disciples had great fear. And it's into that fear, into that house of locked doors, that Jesus, the risen Savior Jesus, their leader who had been killed by the violence that they were afraid of, Jesus comes and says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Jesus' words of peace in this moment remind me again about what peace is. As Jesus comes to them and says peace, he is coming and not just greeting them in a traditional way, but indeed offering to them and urging them and breathing out upon them the peace of God, which is in many ways the entire point of all of this, of his entire life and being, of our worship, of our coming together. It's to come together to find and bring and be peace in the world. Peace be with you, as Christina shared, is not just a fun thing that we get to say. It's a little bit churchy. We say, "Go in peace. Peace be with you." It cements you in the experience of church. But that's because it's at the very foundation and core of who we are as church and who we aspire to be as people and what the Spirit of Jesus is coming to do to us. As Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you," to his disciples, he is saying, "This is what you need right now." He says it a couple times, "Peace be with you." This peace is different than the momentary asterisk relief that the disciples felt when the doors were locked. And in this offering of peace by Jesus, we see the foundation and the core of what Martin Luther King Jr. proclaimed many times in many ways, but in February of 1967, proclaimed in this way, that we must not concentrate merely on the negative expulsion of war, but on the positive affirmation of peace. Peace is not just an absence of violence. It's not just an absence of tension. It's not keeping the two sides separated and segregated so that there's no conflict in the middle. But peace, true peace, is where Jesus sends his disciples out into, where the Spirit pushes them into, and what we celebrate on this day of Pentecost. As Jesus shares his words with them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And in that sending, Jesus gets to what that peace is really all about. It's not a negative peace that comes from withdrawing from the world, of centering in on my own little self, of putting up the walls and the barriers so that I can just get my little peace. The true peace that comes from Jesus, the true peace that comes in the being of the people of God, comes not when they retreat, but when they are sent out. And Jesus sends them. "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you," Jesus says. Sends them where? Well, most certainly out past that locked door. That door that they locked together to breathe that momentary sigh of relief in the midst of so much fear and chaos and threat of violence. Now Jesus shows up and says, "No, unlock that door. I'm sending you out there. Out there where all those people are. Yeah, I know they don't agree with you. I know they're very different from you. I know that they seem dangerous to you. And indeed, they may very well be." Many of these disciples will see their lives end in violent ways as martyrs. It is not a comfortable world that Jesus sends them out into. But it is in peace that Jesus sends them out. As Jesus sends them out, they go not just to experience peace, but to bring it, to be it. And as he sends them out, in the story that we didn't read on this Pentecost Sunday, but we will read this coming Wednesday as we celebrate the continuation of Pentecost, that story from Acts where the disciples are there again in that room, again just separated out from the people. And then the Spirit comes in a breath that is loud and a flame that is visible on their heads. And then they are out in amongst all the people, speaking the languages of all the people, conversing with them, with people, about the love and the peace and the glory of God, each in their own languages, to people who had gathered in Jerusalem from around the world. And as they go and gather out, this is what Jesus is sending them to be. Peace out there. To be such people of peace that it goes with them wherever they go. That it is so immovable, that peace in them, and so incapable of being taken away that they can face whatever the world has in store and be at peace. To go back to words from Martin Luther King Jr., in these words of a sermon he preached on Christmas that are now carved into the statue and the monument in Washington, D.C., Martin Luther King Jr. says, if we are to have peace on earth, our loyalties must transcend our race, our tribe, our class, and our nation. And this means we must develop a world perspective. As Jesus sends the disciples out in peace, he sends them out to the world, and so he sends us out beyond the boundaries of everything that the world puts up to constrict and define and separate and segregate us into our own nice, simple little demographics. Jesus sends us out in true peace. Peace with the eyes to see that we are, all of us in this world, members of a common body, children of a common Lord, siblings together in Christ, in that mystical union of the one who made and formed us all, who blesses every drop of water on this planet. There are no members against one another, as Paul writes in Corinthians, that no, there are not more important members than another, but we all share the same value, and that value is grounded in God, and that peace comes when we see the value that all of us have. We don't stack up ourselves against one another. That indeed we break down the barriers between us. In Washington, D.C., in addition to the memorial statue to Martin Luther King Jr., there is a Christian community called the Church of Christ Right Now, which is a fun name. It's the Church of Christ Right Now. And at the Church of Christ, right now, they gather together in a curious and interesting and inspiring way. As they gather together for worship, their worship looks a lot different than what we're experiencing today. As they gather together for worship, it's in a small group. And a few years ago, I got to go to one of these worship small groups with them, and it was a lot more like a 12-step program than what we normally experience in worship. It was a sharing of personal stories as they talked about being in recovery from the divisions of the world. This was the core idea of their church, that they were to be a church of people in recovery from the divisions of the world. They were to be a people of peace that surpassed boundaries, peace that transcended all of those dividing lines. And so that being a people of peace encouraged them to seek out people for their church who were the most different from them possible. And that's who they would go and invite to come to the next gathering. That as they looked around the room at those who were gathered, maybe there were some people who were rich. And so they thought that in order to truly see and experience the peace of God, I need to be in relationship beyond the boundaries of class. And so they would go out and intentionally find someone who lived in a much lower income bracket than them and say, I'd like you to come and experience this church with me. And they did this invitation across vast differences because it was through the crossing of those differences that they experienced the holiness that is the true peace of the Spirit of God. True peace. Jesus says, peace be with you, and he shows them his hands and his feet, because true peace does not just forget the past, but shows the wounds. True peace, which is not beholden to those wounds, however, but also operates out of active forgiveness. As Jesus sends them with the Holy Spirit, he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. True peace that comes as these disciples go out into the world to experience the people of the world, maybe people that have hurt them. But they're not going to carry the grudge of that hurt along their backs, because they are people of true peace. As Martin Luther King Jr. says, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it's the presence of justice. It's not just the momentary safety or quiet that comes from no conflict. The true peace is founded on the breath of God, which Jesus breathes out and upon his disciples, and on this day of Pentecost breathes out and on to us. So let us breathe in that breath of Spirit and find a peace that fills us with such courage that, yes, we can go out, we can engage even in difficult places, knowing that that peace, that breath, it cannot be taken from us. That peace, that breath, it will always be with us, because that peace, that breath, is a gift of the Spirit of God. So let us be people of that positive peace. Amen.
Spirit, breathe in us as we